أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته and welcome back to Ramadan Reflections for 2024. Today being the 22nd day of the blessed month of Ramadan. Now today as we continue in our series, we turn our focus to yet another verse of the Noble Quran revealed about the Commander of the Faithful. And today we look at Surah At-Tahrim, chapters number 66, verse number 4, where Allah says, "If you too, wives of the Prophet, turn to Allah in repentance, then that indeed is what you should do, for the hearts of both of you swerved from what is right. But if you back up one another against him, against the Prophet, then be mindful that Allah himself is his guardian, and that Jibra'il and the righteous ones among the believers, and all of the angels besides them, are his helpers." Now this verse of the Quran offers a compelling insight into the dynamics within the household of the Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, and the nefarious plans of two of his wives. And let's name them for who they are, Aisha and Hafsa, the daughters of Abu Bakr and Umar, respectively. This verse addresses an incident involving these two wives of the Prophet and lays down a stern warning to them and others that wish to insult, mock and plan against the Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family. However, before we can see the role of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, in this verse, we need to go back to the history of revelation of this particular verse, really the entire chapter, but this portion at least. Now, historians mention that when the Prophet, may Allah bless him and his family, used to visit Zainab bint Jahash, one of his wives, Zainab would serve him a drink she would make with honey. The Prophet, we're told, loved this drink. However, when this news reached the ears of Aisha, it troubled her greatly due to her deep-seated jealousy and animosity she had for other women, some of those wives of the Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family. So she decided to hatch a wicked plan with Hafsa, saying to her, Hafsa being obviously another wife of the Prophet, the daughter of Umar, she says that when she put this plan together, she said, "Hafsa and I had agreed that whenever the Prophet visits one of us, we would immediately ask him, 'Have you eaten maghafir?'" Now, maghafir was a resin that oozed from a tree in the Hijaz, which had a very unpleasant odor to it, a very bad smell. In doing so, by Aisha and Hafsa conspiring, in this way, they felt that the Prophet would become embarrassed as he was always careful that no unpleasant smell emanated from his body or mouth or clothes, as he was always keen to be perfumed and looking and smelling presentable amongst society. So with this plan in place that Aisha and Hafsa had hatched, they waited for the ideal time to trap and insult their husband, the final messenger of Allah, the Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family. And you can read this in the chapter 66 and its commentaries as well. But moving on, in the history of revelation, one day the Prophet, may Allah bless him and his family, visits Hafsa, and she mentions to him that his breath smelled very bad. And upon hearing this, the Prophet said, "I have not eaten maghafir. Rather, I had honey at Zainab bint Jahsh's house, and I swear that I will not consume that honey anymore, lest the bees have sat on an inappropriate vegetation, possibly maghafir." However, the Prophet said to her, "Do not disclose this matter to anyone, lest the people say, 'Why did the Prophet forbid himself from consuming lawful food?' Or they might imitate the Prophet's actions in this matter, or this news may reach Zainab and break her heart." Well, eventually, brothers and sisters, the secret was revealed by one of the two wives, and it was later found out that this incident was a conspiracy to hurt and insult and mock the Prophet. Upon finding this out, the Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, became very upset. Although the matter was eventually resolved, this event was forever ingrained in the Quran, warning these two wives, namely Aisha, the daughter of Abu Bakr, and Hafsa, the daughter of Umar, that if they were not careful, Allah would gladly divorce them. They would gladly be allowed to leave being the wives of the Prophet of Allah. Now, obviously, much more can be said about this event, and we would sincerely urge you to refer to the respectable books of commentary and history to read for yourselves what had gone on and why Allah had to use such stern language against these two wives of the Prophet, Aisha and Hafsa. Why did Allah have to ingrain this event in the Quran? What did they do that was so evil and wicked? Well, what I have just mentioned is just really the tip of the iceberg. Unfortunately, there is much more contained in the books of hadith, history, and commentary of the Quran that as Muslims we need to investigate. However, one point I would like to mention before I close this discussion and open up another one is that the pure Muhammadan Islam, in the pure Muhammadan Islam, no one is given a free ticket to paradise. Neither the friends, companions, wives, or family members of the Prophet. These are individuals that also have to earn paradise. And this is not only for the past prophets, but also with our final prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family. Because when we review this chapter, Surah At-Tahrim, we can clearly see the displeasure of the Prophet with some of his wives. Now, throughout history, many illustrious figures had wives who did not uphold their status, suffering from the lack of necessary conditions in their conduct. And examples of such wives are mentioned among the great prophets in the Quran, such as those that Allah has mentioned at the end of Surah At-Tahrim, namely the wives of Prophets Nuh and Lut, peace be upon both of these prophets. Although their wives were married to prophets of Allah, in the case of Prophet Nuh and Ulul Azm prophet, however, as the Quran clearly notes at the end of Surah At-Tahrim, Allah says the following, that Allah presents the wife of Nuh and the wife of Lut as an example for those who disbelieve. They were married to two of our righteous servants, yet they betrayed them by rejecting the messages they brought from Allah and collaborating with the unbelievers. But they, meaning their husbands, availed them nothing against Allah. And it was said to them, to these two wives, enter the fire with all those who enter it. Now these verses, brothers and sisters, indicate that the Prophet of Islam, may Allah bless him and his family, experienced a major issue with two of his wives in Medina, such that Allah had to rebuke them in public, defending his prophet, issuing stern warnings, and even the threat of divorce against Aisha and Hafsa. In essence, the life of the Prophet, may Allah bless him and his family, vividly demonstrates that some of his wives not only lacked the necessary understanding of his prophetic status, but also treated him as an ordinary person at times, or God forbid, insulted him. Therefore, insisting that all of them were worthy and perfect seems baseless from the Quranic perspective, especially considering the explicitness of the aforementioned verse and the entire chapter of Surah At-Tahrim. Now, Islamic history, especially the story of the Battle of Jamal, also illustrates that this meaning persisted not only during the time of the Prophet, but also afterward concerning his successors. And obviously, this is not the time or the place to detail all of these matters, but you can study about the Battle of Jamal and the role of Aisha in that event as well. Now, let's come back to the verse for today. We see that Allah reminds the two wives of the Prophet and all others against any collusion or alliance between the wives against the Messenger of Allah. It emphasizes that Allah Himself is the ultimate guardian of the Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, reaffirming His divine protection and authority over His chosen representatives. However, you would think that Allah could stop and say that He alone will support and help the Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family. After all, if Allah is there to support you, who else do you need? But what else does Allah say in the verse that we want to review for today? Allah goes on to mention here that the angel Jibra'il will be there to aid and support the Prophet. Now, you would think that surely this is enough. Meaning, if you have Allah and the angel Jibra'il, who else do you need to help you? You've got the army of the unseen at your disposal. But then Allah ups the ante, and He says that in addition to these two, another group, the righteous believers, will also be there to help and assist the Prophet. Now, as we will see shortly in a hadith, that this is none other than Imam Ali, peace be upon him. But then you would think that surely this is enough. You have Allah, you have the angel Jibra'il, and you have Imam Ali. Who else do you need? Allah, however, makes one more point clear, that if Aisha and Hafsa or any others, whether it's their fathers or other people in the community, if they plan against the Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, Allah will employ all of his angels to help and assist the Prophet. How many angels? One, two, 100, 3,000, a million, a billion, a trillion? Allah doesn't say. He leaves it open-ended. He says His angels will be there to support and aid His prophet. Wow. This verse, brothers and sisters, really underscores the extensive support surrounding the prophet, emphasizing his elevated status and the sanctity of his mission, and the fact that no matter who you are, even a wife of the Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, when you are guilty and are planning to scheme against the final prophet, Allah will employ His best servants, the angels, Angel Jibra'il and Imam Ali, peace be upon him, to support his beloved Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family. Brothers and sisters, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, plays a central role in supporting and upholding the integrity of the Prophet, his name, his character, everything about the Prophet. This verse underscores the divine protection granted to Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, reassuring him of Allah's guardianship and the support of celestial beings, including Jibra'il and the righteous believers. In this context, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, emerges as the prominent figure among the righteous helpers, the righteous believers of the Prophet, employed by Allah to support his most beloved. Now, although the name of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, has not been directly mentioned in the Quran, nor in the verse that we are reviewing today, well, that's where the hadith come into play. Given that the Prophet Muhammad, may Allah bless him and his family, and the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt, may God's peace and blessings be upon all of them, are the rightful interpreters of the Quran, we must go to their door of guidance to see how they explain the verses of the Quran. In looking at the verse under review for today from Surah Al-Tahrim, chapter 66, we come across the following narration. And this adds clarity to the verse, and that too from a non-Shia source. And the hadith says the following. This is being narrated from Ammar ibn Yasir, who says, or who is reported to have said, that I heard Ali ibn Abi Talib saying, the Messenger of Allah called me and said, shall I give you glad tidings? Imam Ali replied saying, yes, O Messenger of Allah, and you have always been giving glad tidings of good. The Prophet replied, Allah has revealed a verse of the Quran concerning you. Imam Ali said, and what is it, O Messenger of Allah? The Prophet replied, you were paired with Jibra'il. And then he recited chapter 66, verse number 4, and Jibra'il and the righteous believers. The Prophet then said, so you and the believers from the offspring of your father are the righteous believers. Now, brothers and sisters, let us come to a close. Let us reflect on some practical tips for the topic of today for our Ramadan reflections, as well as a closing reflection and a final thought to end this day. Point number one is divine protection and support. Allah serves as a guardian, not only of all humanity, but also specifically of the Prophet. The divine guardianship extends beyond mere presence. It entails active support. The verse under review emphasizes that Allah's protection is not solitary. It involves the aid of Angel Jibra'il and other angels, as well as the righteous believer, notably Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, may God's peace and blessings be upon both of them. Point number two is the mobilization against conspiracy. Faced with conspiracies against the Prophet and his teachings, it is imperative for all forces to unite. The Prophet's support isn't solely spiritual, but encompasses tangible allies, emphasizing the need for Imam Ali's support, him being the commander of the faithful. Point number three is righteousness and divine companionship. Righteousness aligns individuals with the closest companions of Allah, the angels. This verse underscores the elevated status of the Prophet, receiving support not only from Allah and the angels, but also from Imam Ali, peace be upon him. As a closing reflection, these verses highlight the intricate network of divine support surrounding the Prophet, demonstrating that divine aid extends beyond the spiritual realms. Imam Ali's inclusion amongst the righteous believers and the angels and Angel Jibra'il, peace be upon him, and all of the great angels of God, underscores his pivotal role in supporting and protecting the Prophet and his teachings. And as a final thought which we leave you with, as believers we should acknowledge and appreciate the multifaceted nature of divine assistance, just as Allah employed various means to support the Prophet, including angels and righteous believers such as Imam Ali, peace be upon him, we should trust in his comprehensive support in our lives. Through faith and righteousness, we can align ourselves with divine companionship and overcome any challenges that come our way. Until tomorrow and another day of Ramadan and our Ramadan reflections, we leave you with the words of peace. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.